This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. The Fei Koo Award for Food and Drink Writing was set up in tribute to the memory of the writer, publisher, and host of BFM's Feeding Time, Fei Koo, who passed earlier this year after a short battle with cancer. My guest today is Bettina Khan, who has taken it upon herself to put this award together. She joins me on the line from the UK to talk about the idea behind this award, as well as her relationship with Fei.
I had taken up a course in crewing and was on my maiden regatta, sort of getting ready to set sail. And this girl walked in, vibrant and full of confidence and loud. And I looked at the people I was with and I said, "Who is that? She's incredible." And I said, "Oh, that's Fei Koo." And so I actually didn't start out my relationship with Fei from a food point of view. It was actually being out on the seas. That lasted all of about 2 days before she whisked us all off to different places in Penang to eat. And then I realized that this girl had an incredible appetite, not just for food, but for life in general.
Would you know how she came to be so passionate about food?
Well, she's from Penang. She was a through and through Penangite. How can you not be passionate about food when you have grown up in Penang? I think we are, as Malaysians, generally very passionate about food. A few years ago, I remember hosting a television program called the Merdeka Awards, and we were talking about unity in the country. And it came to where the panel and myself came to the conclusion, which was a little bit bittersweet, that the one thing that the country was completely united about was food. I think food gives us a great common ground to meet people, to find out what people are like, to interact, to build communities. We don't need to fight about it somehow. And what I want the award to be about and what I'd like to see, I think what Fei was about, was taking it, at least in Malaysia, to a level, and I use this word quite lightly, scholarship about food and food writing. I think she did it very well. She was extremely knowledgeable about it. She was very passionate about it. She studied it. And I think the way she was raised by her parents to be curious, to read voraciously, stood her in very good stead to become a fine food writer.
What makes a good food writing?
I was told by somebody that you know good writing when it bites you on the bum. I think any good writing is the type that arrests your attention. It takes a hold of you. You start reading a couple of words, lines into it, and you find yourself wanting more. You find yourself swept up in the descriptive qualities, the cadences that come across, the general lovely quality of writing itself, the judicious use of words to evoke a sense of time, a sense of place, and the kind of writing that has an ability to transport you anywhere or to make you want to go there or certainly make you want to take note of, you know, where this particular place was for food writing and go there yourself. I think that's wonderful food writing.
So the entries that you're looking for, does it have to be about a particular cuisine or can it be maybe the wider ecosystem around food?
Definitely the wider ecosystem. I don't think that writing about food should be restricted to recipes or restaurant reviews or interviews with chef. There is, if you were to pause and reflect about food writing, you will find that it is a genre of writing which has only very recently been named as a genre, but about which almost you can find an engagement with almost all of humanity. you can see the social side of food and you could write about the social side of food. We were all born to break bread together, if you want to, you know, use that phrase. You can look at what is happening in food technology. Ferran Adria, for instance, ushered in, Heston Blumenthal ushered in a whole new era of the way food was brought to the table using different technology. Food has a human, we have a human relationship with food writing. Everybody does. It's the story of humanity. If you were to look at a cuisine of a particular country and look at it in depth, you must also look at the kind of crops that grow in that country. You must look at the kind of traditions of that country and find that you will have a greater understanding and greater knowledge of what is behind a particular dish that is put on your table. You can see, for instance, in Vietnam, for example, why do you have French cuisine? Well, we know why. There's a whole history behind why there is French influences in Vietnamese cuisine. And you can look at the same with curry in England. It's one of those much bandied about facts that, you know, the dish that is most served in the UK at any time is, you know, chicken tikka masala. Well, it's not British, is it? Or isn't it? Or is it? I find that the kind of writing in which you learn more about the cuisine and where it's come from and who are the people behind them and what were their lives like and what was the prevailing economic or political or social order of the day will give you so much more insight into the quality of the article you might be reading.
Food writing is the story of humanity. That's a lovely line.
Thank you.
You're limiting entries for this award to the ASEAN region. Was there a reason why?
Yes, there was. In a quick reflection on setting up the parameters for the award, it came to me that the ASEAN region and perhaps the wider Asian region has the most diverse type of cuisine. We have everything from Japanese to Korean to Chinese to a multitude of Indian cuisines. The Indo-Chinese region has many types. Thai food is very different to Indonesian food, and yet we're all within this region. But conversely, we don't seem to have the scholarship, the writing at the level that we might have in the West. And Western food writers are incredibly celebrated, prolific, successful books. They don't have to be chefs. There are many writers who write about food in different shapes and form. But it seemed to me quite strange that for a region that had such a diversity of cuisine and of food and produce, that we didn't really quite have the corresponding quantity of writing about it. So I'm hoping that the award will encourage more writers about the food of the region.
It's almost looked upon as a second-tier career, isn't it? No one really identifies themselves as a food writer, or at least I don't come across enough of them in the media.
I think if you look at food bloggers, you'll find thousands upon thousands of them, and that is one form of food writing. It takes a particular skill and a commitment to be a food blogger, a food Instagrammer. They provide, I think, a really interesting subgenre to food writing. But I'd really like to see some very high-quality food writing, the kind that Faye did. We were both great fans of A.A. Gill's writing, and that is a very high bar to set for yourself if you are to be a food writer. And Faye imposed a very high standard of writing on herself. I think also because she was an editor, she was really quite conscious of ticking all the boxes. She wanted to write in a way that was engaging. She wanted to write in a way that was informative, but she also wanted to write in a way that was very entertaining for a audience that appreciated that level of writing.
With the proliferation of websites offering amateur restaurant reviews or user-generated content through social media websites, do you think there are enough of an audience that's demanding good food writing?
I hope we can create one. I hope we, through good writing and offering a platform that is open to a lot of people, promote it. I can't speak for Faye, but I do know how much she appreciated good writing. If you didn't find Faye eating, you'd find her sailing. And if you didn't find Faye sailing, you'd find her with her nose in a book. And she, part of my friendship with her was not actually even then about sailing, which was how we first met, because I don't sail anymore. And it wasn't even that much about food, because we didn't eat together as often as I really wish we had. But the one thing that she and I connected about was good writing and wonderful books and those sorts of, you know, ideas about where you could take good writing and whom to read. And I think it would be a wonderful thing for us to be able to develop or expand on the existing community we have of people who appreciate good writing.
Is this the first time you're putting together an award like this?
Absolutely. It's terrifying on some level. I can almost feel Faye staring down at me, saying, "You're doing this all wrong.
What is that? Like,
you need to do this and you need to do that," you know, at the usual breakneck speed that she went through life on.
So tell me about some of the logistics. What awaits the winner, and will you be looking to maybe publish some of the entries that you are getting?
Well, firstly, one of the first questions that I've had is this going to be an annual award? And absolutely, yes, that is fully my intention. So what I'd like to see is that we grow it to the point where we might be able to start accepting entries in other languages and for a younger writing community. So at the moment, the parameters are that you have to be 18 years old on the day of the award, which is November, at the end of November at the Georgetown Literary Festival. By the way, they have been wonderful supporters of this initiative. And that you have to be from the ASEAN region. The winner will be flown to Penang from within the ASEAN region and put up in Penang and will be presented with their award at the ceremony, which is part of the Georgetown Literary Festival, and receive a prize of 3,000 Malaysian ringgit, along with a goodie bag of other things.
The writers have to be a citizen of one of the ASEAN countries?
Citizen or resident. I think it would be unfair to just restrict it to citizens. And I'm sure there are people who are saying, well, it's unfair that you restrict it at all. But I think for now, what we would like to do is encourage, as I said earlier, writing of residents and citizens of ASEAN nations to see where we can take this, where we can take the quality of our writing. To your other question about publishing, yes. Once I think we have enough material, I'd like to be able to publish a collection of these articles. Certainly, we would keep them on our website, our Facebook site, and hopefully over the years build something that is a great reference for budding food writers out there. There are some really superb books. And again, you know, that I have read Best Food Writing, which is a compilation of very good food writing from the West, which is edited by a lady called Holly Hughes. And if you read the quality of that writing, then that's what I hope we would be able to eventually accumulate enough of to publish.
Any ideas of how many entries you'll receive?
No, I am not looking at the moment to see how many entries. We're still open for the next 6 weeks plus. So I really do hope we'll start to get lots of entries. All the information is on the website, and there's an email address if you want to, you know, sort of write in a query to me personally. I'm very happy to answer all of that. But it's really hard to say. You know, we are hopefully with your help promoting it as among as many communities and as many writing groups as possible. And I really hope that they will take the opportunity to send in, rework perhaps what they have been looking at, take a different look at the next time they go out to a hawker stall, think about the food that, you know, is on their table. Every time they walk through a supermarket, think about the food that's in there, or a market, or any of their food travels that they've been on in which food has been a crucial part. I think it always is. It's the one thing I think that makes or breaks your trip anywhere is having good food. There is so much, I think, that you can think about when it comes to food writing. I would just get started. If, you know, if somebody else ran this award, I'd be writing.
Tell me about the judges who will be judging, and how will these entries be judged?
Well, please appreciate that we're all really quite, I'm really quite new to this. I'm very grateful to have John Brunton, who is a contributor to The Guardian's food and travel writing pages, as chief judge. He came to us courtesy of the Georgetown Literary Festival, and Bernice Chorley put us in touch, and he was wonderfully supportive of this initiative. We're going to be looking, I think, first of all, for the kind of work that educates, informs, and engages and entertains readers. You know, we're not looking for an academic dissertation here. You do want something that is entertaining. A good way to look at what sort of thing would attract our attention is just to go onto Faye's website, which has been memorialized, and look at some of her articles there. She, of course, was of BFM. She's well known to the BFM listeners. You're looking for that level, I think, of engagement and entertainment as far as the writing goes. There are some other things that we're looking for, and I put this up on the website, which is thefeikuaward.com. And these were John Brunton's tips for food and drink writers. I think the most important one that that he came up with was be original. It's really easy, actually, if you want to put a food article together. If you want to write about, buffalo wings. It's really easy to do something like that by trawling through the internet and looking at different articles and cutting and pasting and cobbling something together. But I think we'll know. We'll know when we don't see a coherent storyline. I think we'll know when we don't see original material. I think we'll know when we don't see quotes from actual people, time and location and ambience. I think we'll know things like that. So original material is going to be very important. Remember, this is your story. It's not mine. It's your story that you're writing. It's your article. So as John says, don't be afraid to say exactly what you think. If, for instance, you've decided to interview a chef and you maybe come to the conclusion that he bears a certain resemblance to Anthony Bourdain, well, don't be afraid to say so. And I'm not talking physical resemblance here. If you think somebody is, you know, a mini Gordon Ramsay Health Kitchen in making, say so. It's again, it's your story. So you be authoritative about it, no matter how controversial, because that's what makes good writing, that we are reading the work of somebody who has something clear to say.
Yeah, you mentioned buffalo wings. So it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be food from the ASEAN region. It can be anywhere.
It really can be anywhere. I suppose, in a way, we're looking at twofold. One, it would be wonderful to have things from the ASEAN region because I think there is a need for writers to document in different ways, shapes, and forms. Blogs are part of them. The academic writing is part of them. Recipe books are another part of it, but it would be really good to have food and drink writing about the cuisine of the region. But equally, good writing is good writing. So if there's somebody from the Philippines who has lived in Scandinavia and wants to write about Nordic cuisine, why not? I think the hardest question that I've had to answer from people who have asked me about this is one that you already asked, and maybe I can give you a little bit more of a concise response, and that is, why is it important? Why should we care about food writing? And the reason it's difficult to answer is because it has inherently such a wide audience, because on some level, we're all interested in food. It's only when our ideas and learnings are preserved in a form that can be accessed by a wider community that we have a better understanding of the subject. And I would really like to see that.
Thank you so much, Bettina.
Thank you very much for having me.
For more information about the award, visit thefeikuaward.com. It is accepting entries from July 10th to September 15th. You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.